14. The book of St. Luke, chapter 14. And I have some other verses here we'll look at in a little bit. Luke chapter 4. Now I'm going to bring a message this morning that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart just a few days ago. I wrote down jotted down this thought. And as you're reading the Bible, one way you know the Bible is the Word of God is that you can read a verse 100 times and then all of a sudden one day reading it'll just jump out at you and grab you. Have you ever had that happen to you? A verse that you'd never paid any attention to. And I've got my old Bible out the other day and I begin to look at the times that I've read, not counting my studies, and just reading this Bible, just like reading it straight through. And I'm somewhere probably up around 60 or 70 and in the New Testament, about 30 in the Old. And so I probably read this Scripture 100 times. And it never grabbed me like it did the other day. And so I thought, well, what a preacher does, if it grabs me, then it'll grab you. If it gets a hold of my heart, it'll get a hold of your heart. One reason why a lot of preachers' messages don't do the people no good, they ain't doing the preacher no good. If it don't get a hold of him, it's probably not going to get a hold of the people that's listening to it. If he don't believe it, they're probably not going to believe it. And I have heard preachers preach like they don't believe a word they're saying, haven't you? I really have. I've heard them preach, and what they're saying is good, but you know, he ain't even listening to himself. And if it gets me, it gets you. So this morning, I want to look at this verse of Scripture. Give you a thought that I believe would be good for all of us. It's not a Sunday morning sermon, I can tell you that. It's not a Sunday morning sermon at all. This would be more like a Sunday night sermon. But nevertheless, I feel like it's what the Lord laid on my heart, and all I know to do is try to obey Him. So look in Luke chapter 4. We're looking at the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse number 15. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 15. Now you'll be able to hear some kids hollering back here because we got a wall here and there's about 60 or 70 of them back there singing. So don't let it bother you. If it bothers you real bad, you give me $1 million and we'll do something about it. And I won't take one penny. Is that a deal? I hope it bothers you bad. You give me $1 million and we'll get something started this week and we'll build some land and build a building that we can put a bunch of people in. And I won't take one penny for myself. Not a penny of it. And how's that for a deal? I'll give you the change. Whatever's left over, you can have it back. Amen. We could probably do a land and building good for maybe a little less than that. 700 maybe, something like that. But until then, we'll just have to put up with the noise in here. So please listen carefully. Luke chapter 14, verse 14. 15. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Look at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Good old country phrase there, brought up. People make fun of people for talking like that, but that's Bible language. I was brought up in North Carolina. Where was you brought? You know, my parents brung me up to do this. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. People say, I was raised. My mom used to say, my people live in Spruce Pine. You know where that comes from? It comes out of your King James Bible. That comes from Bible talk like that, doesn't it? His people. He was gathered to his people. His people. Where's your people from? They're from Spruce Pine and West Virginia. I don't know where y'all are from. But I get mine honest, you know. So I hope that you'll look at that. Verse, it said brought up. And, look at the middle of the verse. And, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now you understand that the Sabbath in the Bible would be the Old Testament Sabbath that God gave to Israel in the Old Testament that Jesus went and worshipped here. During his earthly ministry, they all went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's Saturday. From sundown Friday evening, 6 o'clock, to sundown Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, was the Old Testament Jewish Sabbath. They didn't have church on Sunday. They had it on Saturday. Now, the Seventh-day disadvantages have never got that thing figured out right yet. They forget that Jesus died on the cross, and so therefore still think you're supposed to go on Saturday. After He died on the cross, He rose from the dead the first day of the week, that's Sunday. The Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost came down on the first day of the week, that's Sunday. The disciples met and preached in the book of Acts on Sunday. They broke bread on Sunday, the first day of the week, and they took the Lord's Supper on Sunday, the first of the week, and they took up the offering on Sunday, the first day of the week. So we're right in worshiping the Lord on the resurrection. The seventh day was in honor of the creation of the Old Testament. We worship the Lord on Sunday, the first day, in honor of His resurrection. Of course, worship Him every day. Every day. Somebody said, well, you're supposed to keep Sunday holy. You're supposed to keep them all holy. Amen? So, that's why it said He went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, look what it said. And it stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Look back at verse 16, if you will. Now take our text from verse 16 this morning. The Bible said that He went to Nazareth, where He'd been brought up, and as His custom was, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I'd like to preach on that subject this morning, as His custom was. The Bible was careful to insert that little phrase in this verse of Scripture. He went in the synagogue as His custom was. It was Jesus' custom in His earthly life to go to church on the synagogue on the Sabbath day when the doors were open. I'm going to preach to you this morning about going to church. I hear it everywhere I go. I can live just as good at home as I can going to church. People tell me all the time, it don't matter if you go to church. Man told me the other day, I said, where do you go to church? He said, right here. He thought he was real cool by giving me that answer. I said, listen, God wants you to go to church and gather together with other Christians. He said He did in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not only in there, it said we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I know why people don't go to church. I'm a preacher. I mean, I get all the excuses you can imagine. But the Bible does say Jesus, as His custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus wasn't married. But if He had a wife, Him and His wife would have got up on Saturday morning and went to the synagogue and worshiped. If Jesus had had children, Him, His wife, and children would have got up, took the whole family to church, and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You're not going to get me to believe that God don't care if people go to church or not. God has always had a place and a time to meet with His people. And that place and time in this city is right here as Shining Light Baptist Church at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening, and whenever else the church decides to meet. And we need to understand that if we're going to be what God wants us to be, that every time that we're able physically, when those doors are open, we are to trot our little self through them doors and come and sit down and worship the Lord as our custom is. It's our custom to go to church. It's our custom. Somebody said, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. I didn't say you did. You know, a lot of people saved, you know, people in hospital, people in prison. But if you're able, the Bible said not forsake the assembling of yourself. That don't count people in prison or people flat on their back. They're not forsaken if they can't get there. Forsaken means you're able to come and won't come. That's what I'm preaching to today. You say, why are you preaching to us? We're here. Well, I can't preach to them that ain't here. I mean, it's sort of hard to do that. So I reckon I'll preach to you and preach to them when they do get here. But I'm preaching to you just in case there's anybody thinking about
not coming back tonight.
Preacher, preach to you in case you're one of these Christmas and Easter Christians where a preacher gets up on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and says, Merry Christmas, because he won't see them again until Christmas Day. And he gets up on Christmas night and says, Happy Easter, because that's on a... You're one of these that if absence makes the heart grow fonder, I know some people that sure do love their church, don't you? Because, brother, they ain't been in a coon's age. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you love the Lord and Jesus Christ is your hero and you want to live like Him, then it's going to be your custom to get up on Sunday, get your family ready, and go on over to the house of God and worship Him as His custom was. You know, a few years ago, people come out with these little WWJD things. All the teenagers, everybody's wearing them WWJD bracelets. And the kids told me, they said, Brother Danny, that means what would Jesus do? And one guy told me, he said, I'm cool, man. I'm a Christian. I got my WWJD bracelet. I have my rear view mirror. What would Jesus do? Well, I tell you what Jesus wouldn't do. Jesus wouldn't ride around in a car with a WWJD bracelet on his mirror, listen to rap music and lay out of church on Sunday. He would not do that. Like that one boy, he come in, he's a hippie and wouldn't get his hair cut and listen, he's rock and roll and everything. He said, Daddy, his daddy said, you need to get that haircut, boy. He said, no, Daddy, I wear my hair long so I can be like Jesus. And he said, Daddy, I just wear these old sloppy clothes and my sandals so I can be like Jesus. And he said, Daddy, let me borrow the car. And he said, I ain't gonna let you borrow the car. He said, well, I want to be like Jesus. He said, I want to be like Jesus. Wear my hair long. Daddy said, you ain't going to do that. He said, I'm going to do it like Jesus. He said, I'm going to borrow the car. He said, well, Jesus walked everywhere he went, too. That's where a lot of these people are. They want to be like Jesus where it benefits them. But when it comes right down to it, they couldn't care less about being like Jesus. Now, everybody in here may not be talented. And everybody in here may not be able to sing. And everybody in here may not be able to preach. And everybody in here may not be able to play an instrument or drive a bus. Or everybody in here may not be real smart on the scripture. And everybody in here may not be the most spiritual book. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in here can get up, put your clothes on, and walk in the doors and come to church on Sunday. Everybody can do that if you're able. As His custom was. As His custom was. I can't stand here people throw off on their church and don't even go half the time. Somebody said, says I to myself, I grumbled and growled. I'm sick of my church. And then I scowl. The members are unfriendly. The sermons are too long. In fact, it seems like everything's wrong. I don't like the singing. The church is a disgrace. The signs of neglect are all over the place. I'm going to quit going there. I ain't going to give a dime. Dime, I.M.E. I can make better use of my money and my time. Then my conscience says to me, the trouble with you is you're blind to see that your church reflects you, whatever it be. Now come, pray, and serve cheerfully. Stop all your fault finding and boost it up strong. You'll find you'll be happy and proud to belong. Be friendly, be willing, and sing as you work. The churches are not built by people who shirk. Do you understand this morning? Somebody said, well, there's a lot wrong with the church. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. I've heard people everywhere I go, I quit going to church years ago, preacher. I seen how them people act down there. I know how they are, bunch of hypocrites. I seen fault in their life. I said, if they ain't no better than that, let me just set you down here and give you a little talking to for a minute. I want everybody in here to give me your attention. And if you hadn't listened the last few Sundays, you listen to me this morning. The Bible said Jesus Christ, as His custom was, went to the house of God and worshiped the Lord. Now, Brother Derek brought it out this morning. Jesus Christ was the second person of the Godhead. He was God of very God. He was man of man. He was God and man, the God-man, all God and all man. And as God, He knew everything. And as man, He was a human being like me and you, except perfect in the flesh. He mentioned that in Sunday school. Somebody asked one time, they said, could Jesus sin? And the answer is, of course not. He couldn't sin. He had perfect flesh. He had God's blood running through His veins. He wasn't sin. He was tempted, but without sin. He didn't have a sinful nature like you and I do. He was God in the flesh, and He went to church every Saturday. He went to church every Saturday. There ain't a person in this town, there ain't a person in Burke County that lives a better life than Jesus Christ did. And He went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. Now, I'm going to use an old southern word here as I explain the sermon this morning. And I've got four things to say, and I'm going to start them off with this old southern word. And I know if you went to a big shot church this morning, the preacher would never do this. And if you went up north, they don't even use this word. But there again, it's a testimony to their ignorance of the Scripture. This is a good Bible word, and the word is reckon. All right, I'm going to preach on that word for a few minutes. Reckon. Amen. Man don't know how to use the word reckon, he's just uneducated. Amen. And he's educated beyond his intelligence. That's what the old country preacher said. He's educated beyond, he's just too smart, big for his britches. And so anyway, I'm going to use these verses here this morning. All right, here goes the Lord Jesus Christ. Now imagine, we're 2,000 years ago. Some of y'all been watching that movie, The Passion. They give you a perfect picture of how things look, how they dress. Here's the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Here's all the priests in their priestly robes. Here's everybody sitting around. And in walks the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes in. He sits down. He got the Scripture. He stood up and read it. He sat back down. And all the eyes were fastened on Him. But He was there. You know where He's at next Saturday? He is there again. How many of y'all believe that Jesus Christ got up one Saturday morning and went fishing? And then told everybody he could worship God just as good out there on the riverbank. Somebody said, well, I can worship the Lord out here. You can, but you don't, do you? You're sitting out there saying, well, come on. About cussed right there. When you didn't catch that big one. Or that God up there. You ain't a worshiping the Lord. You're sitting out there daydreaming, man. Jesus did not go fishing on Saturday morning. You said, now, He did. Tell him how to go fishing one time. He went out there and there's a time and a place when it's all right to fish. If you ain't got nothing else to do. If you want to go fishing, fine. But not on Sunday morning. Amen. Can I have an amen right there? Somebody said, well, I'm going to go pretty day. I'm going to get my boat and go to the lake. I tell you what you do. It's going to be pretty tomorrow. Get your bait and go to the boat. Get your bait and get in the boat and go to the lake. Get in your car and pull the boat to the lake and go fishing tomorrow. You say, I can't go to work. No, you can't today. We got church. It's the day we go to the house of God. Church is the most important thing you got to do on Sunday morning. Amen. Well, I tell you, the woods are full of them, man. Somebody said, well, I don't go to church nowhere. I just love the Lord. Well, if you love the Lord, you'd do like He did. And as you say, but yeah, I just can't find one good enough for me yet. Well, if you ever find a perfect church, please don't join it. It wouldn't be perfect no more after you got in there. Amen. If I found the perfect church and I joined it, guess what? It wouldn't be perfect long. Wouldn't you feel awful uncomfortable in a perfect church when you're the only sinner in there? Everybody perfect but you. I mean, who would you fellowship with, man? I mean, there's nobody to talk to. They're way up here. You're way down here. The truth is, that's just an excuse. I've got all the excuses. I told you before, I was over in Asheville one night, and it was about Christmas time. And I'm telling you, y'all, you've been to Asheville at Christmas, coldest place in the world. I mean, the wind blowing down through there, and the chill factor is about 20 below zero. And there's this woman come walking down the hall, you know, at the mall. Me and some... I think one of my girls, somebody, we're standing there talking, and this woman came down there. I said, well, how you doing, sister? I said, I ain't seen you at church lately. Where you been? And she looked at me just like she had good sense. Right back in my eyes and said, Brother Danny, I'll be there tomorrow if I can get over this cold. She's 40 miles from home, walking around in that mall, parking lot, carrying, but pushing stuff, lugging all kind of stuff, and she'll be there tomorrow if she can get over that cold. Now, do you honestly think that God, have you ever noticed that if you want to do something, you'll finagle around there, and that's another good old southern word there for you Yankees, finagle, amen? I don't know what it means. In the Greek, it means mess around, I reckon. But if you'll finagle around there and try to figure you out a way to get to do what? Oh, people, they can play ball all day on Saturday, or they can go shopping, they can go to that mall, they just ain't able to get up. I've seen, bless their hearts, some of these grandmas look like they're in a coma. I mean, walking around pushing them buggies through Walmart. I look like I should be on an oxygen machine or something. And brother, able to walk through Walmart and just ain't able to get up and come to the house of God on Sunday. I'm telling you, listen, I'm not the best Christian in the world. I'm the least. I'll tell you one thing, though. By the grace of God, there's one thing I can do. I can get up on Sunday morning and comb my hair and brush my teeth, put my clothes on and get my young'uns up and bring them to God's house on Sunday.
All right, now I'm never going to get to this if I don't hurry. So let me just give you these four reckons. All right, number one, reckon number one. Here's my first reckon. And here's the way I wrote it, so it's exactly the way I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. You reckon that He knew more than they did? Here's Jesus coming to Sunday school. Here He comes to Sunday school. Here He sets through the preaching service. Do you reckon He... I know people right now, I can give you their names, that won't go to Sunday school because they said, well, I'm bored. I don't learn nothing. They're like, I know it all. There's nothing, nobody there. Listen, here's a man that's God in the flesh. He knows every mistake that Sunday school teacher made. He hears every medical error the preacher made. He knows it all, and He still walks in there and sits down and listens just like everybody else. There ain't nobody in here so smart that you don't need to come in here and sit down and listen to a good Sunday school class. Jesus did as His custom was. He did. And if He ain't too good to me, you ain't too good to. That goes for all you fellas standing around and talk out in the parking lot the whole Sunday school lesson. Get in here and sit down and get what? Listen, if you're working with bus kids, fine. But if you're out there running your mouth about cutting your grass, get in here and learn something from God and get what God wants you to get. You say, Brother Danny, it's going to get rough. It's going to get worse here in a minute. So you might as well just fasten your seatbelt. Because you know I ain't going to win no popularity contest. That's over a long time ago. But I'm telling you, get yourself a bed. Get on over to the house of God as Jesus did. Sure He knew more than they did. You think when the choir got up, He knew all the musical notes. When the choir got up and sung, "Here's the Lord," I bet it hurt His ears. You know, I've got a musical ear, and when somebody hits the wrong note on the piano, it's like colors that don't match, man. You just can't hardly stand it. You just look at it and you think, ugh. And when somebody hits a big sour note, man, think what the Lord heard when He heard that choir sing. He didn't go out there and say, "Well, I'm not going back there. Them people can't sing a lick." Another Southern expression. And that means none. And it must be Yankees in our church this morning. God keeps ringing your bell. Maybe you'll come down here and get right with God this morning. I'm going to tell you what, brother. Listen, He knew all the music. He knew the sermon. I'll guarantee you, I've never preached a perfect sermon. And people say, "Well, I went down there and I've heard Him tell that same story before." And Jesus didn't do that. He went right back to me. Just looking for an excuse. The truth is, you're just looking for something you can find wrong so you can justify your lazy self of laying in the bed on Sunday morning. You know, some man told one time, said years ago, when old Roosevelt was president, they called him, and President Roosevelt went to church pretty regular. And they called him up, and they called the pastor up, the rector, they called him. They called him up, and he said, "Is President Roosevelt going to be at church this Sunday?" And the preacher gave him the right answer. He said, "I'm not sure if the president's going to be here this Sunday or not, but," he said, "God's going to be there, and that should be an incentive to give us a good crowd." He said, "President Roosevelt may not be here, but God Almighty is. Isn't that enough to get you to come?" Somebody said, "Boys, a big singing group's going to be there. I'll mosey on down there and hear them, preacher." I know you're one of these diesel sniffers. I know your kind. I mean, you get behind one of them singing buses on the interstate and just follow it wherever it's going. And if ain't a big singing group, you're not interested in it. Listen, brother, the Lord's here. It don't matter if a famous preacher is, if a famous singer is, if God's here, that ought to be enough to get anybody out. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord's here in this church, that ought to be enough reason for any one of us to up and come. Now, listen, somebody said, "Well, Brother Danny ain't going to be there." I ain't going to be. You got the wrong reason for coming, man. You come for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's here. Amen? Well, I reckon He knew more than they did. He sure did. I used to have this guy come, and I don't know if the Lord sent him or the devil. I don't know. But both of them used him, I reckon. But he said, he'd sit in church, and everything I'd say, and this has been a long time ago, and I'd just started pastoring. I was 23 years old, and this sat there, and everything I'd say, he was from Texas and real smart, been to college and everything, and he would sit back there and pick apart everything I'd say. Instead of listening, instead of getting the blessing, saying, "Help me live better," he was saying, "This boy don't know what he's talking about." One Sunday, you know, I said a lot of things backwards when you first start preaching. I still do. You know, it's easy to get up here and, have you ever tried this? Try it. Try to look. You think, Try looking at all these people and people moving and somebody going here and there and making faces at you and doing like that and going to sleep and messing with a pocketbook and filing fingernails and writing notes and then try to keep your thoughts together and little and keep spitting it out like that. Just try it sometimes. Try it. I dare you. All these people say, boy, you preachers got it made. Don't worry. Okay, if it's that easy, start your church and get y'all of it. Well, anyway, he'd sit back there and he'd find fault with everything I say. He's sitting back there one morning and I'd, you know, when you get up here like this, you get your tongue tangled up just like that. And you'll just, you know, you'll say something backwards, you know. And I do that a lot because your mind sentences ahead of your mouth and it's just typing it in ahead right now and then it's coming out like that. And I'd get up here, I like that one preacher. Boy, that old preacher jumped up and he said, praise God. Woo! He said, this place is full. If the Lord keeps a blessing, we're going to have to big us a builder big him. He said, well, I tell him, and try that sometime. And I tell you what, boy, it was hard to do. That one old Church of God preacher got up that time, boy, and he was in the Holy Ghost. And he got up and he said, woo! He said, praise God, the Lord called us to cast out the sick, heal the dead, and raise the devil. He said, let's get busy and do what God called us to do. But you can mess up like that if you ain't careful. So I got up there one Sunday morning. Like that. And I said, and some of y'all probably know this fellow I'm talking about. He moved away, thank God. I prayed him out. I did. I didn't know that about the people. I literally prayed that God would take that guy out of our church, and he did. It has to be bad before I can pray you'll leave. It has to be bad. I put up about anything. One fellow told me, he said, Brother Danny, I ain't much of a member. And I said, I ain't much of a preacher. Shake on it. If you can take me, I'll take you. And he said, he came up to me after service, and I said something about in the days of Noah. And I said, in the days of Noah, this. And I said, the days before the flood was antediluvian. And that's antediluvian. Deluge means the flood, the disaster. And I'm preaching about the Lord coming B.C. and A.D. We're at 2004 A.D., and before that would be B.C. And I said something like, and antediluvian before the days of the coming of the Lord. And it's not antediluvian, it's Anno Domini. Anno Domini means the year of our Lord. And that's when A.D. started. But I said antediluvian. I don't know, I was mixed up. And when he got out of church, he came up and he said, I just want you to know that you said antediluvian. And it's really not, it's Anno Domini. I want to smack him. And, you know, but I mean, he was right. But I thought, a lot of people say, well, that preacher don't know what he's talking about. I'm not going. Can you imagine Jesus Christ sitting there knowing everything from beginning, knowing the whole Bible, verse by verse, been there in creation. Can you imagine the thought? Like that lady come up one time to D.L. Moody. She said, Mr. Moody, I counted 18 grammatical errors in your sermon this morning. Like, you know, he's going to quit preaching or something. He said, hey, see that thing right there? She said, yeah. And he said, I'm using that for the glory of God. What are you using yours for? Yeah. Yeah, man. Amen. But he found fault. Well, I did get that guy one day, though, buddy. He came up to me and I preached on Jonah and the whale. And I said, Jonah was down in the whale belly. And boy, you know, I preached the whole sermon. He came up and he said, acted real smart again. He said, I'll have you to know that the Bible doesn't say it's a whale. It just says it's a great fish. And I got him. I said, you need to read Matthew 12:40, buddy. And he pulled it over there in Matthew 12:40. Jesus said, as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. He said, oh, I guess it does. And I went, yes! I shouldn't have done that. Man, I felt, got you, dude. You ain't as smart as you thought you was. But anyway, Can you imagine the Lord? Can you imagine Jesus? I would be mighty nervous if Jesus Christ sitting right there in the flesh. He's here listening to me right now. It scares me. I'm telling you, I would be scared. But he knew everything and went back the next weekend. You say, well, I went to that church. Them people down there are a bunch of rednecks. They don't know the Bible. Okay, if you're going to be like Jesus, you come back next Sunday. Reckon he knew more than they did? Number two, I'll hurry. Number two, you reckon he knew anything bad about the church? Duh. Are you kidding? You reckon Jesus knew it? Somebody said, well, after I started going to that church, I really liked it. So I found out all that bad stuff about them people. And I just ain't going back. You reckon the Lord knew anything bad about that church? Oh, Lord. Woo! You say, well, I know you women do. You got these little golf circles, and so-and-so calls so-and-so, and so-and-so calls so-and-so, and so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, I heard about old so-and-so, and I heard places.
Listen, buddy, he, are you sure? He knew everything bad about them. He knew that Thomas was going to doubt. He knew that Judas was going to betray him from the very beginning, and went to church with Judas all the time. He knew from the beginning who should betray him. Isn't that something? He knew and fellowshiped with Judas and shook his hand and hugged his neck. In other words, it don't matter if this man's a hypocrite, if that lady's a hypocrite, if everybody in here got drunk tomorrow, it don't leave you of your responsibility for being faithful to church, shaking her hand, and being a Christian. You're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be a Christian. You say, well, that's the way they're going to live. I'll just quit. You're just using that for an excuse. You're supposed to act like a Christian no matter what everybody else does. Amen. Amen, brother. I'm telling you, brother, the Bible in 4, he knew their faults. Somebody said, well, if you knew about that church, what I know about. Listen, he knew their faults. Honest to goodness, I thank God that I don't know y'all's thoughts. What I know is about more than I can handle. Somebody said, let me tell you something bad. I don't want to hear it. Honestly, don't tell me. Tell the Lord. If you've done wrong this week, don't even call me and tell me. Tell Jesus. He's the only one doing that anyway. Confess your sin before God. Get it right. Put it behind. The Lord said, for heaven's sake, don't go around blaming it all over the place.
Yeah,
the truth is, if everybody in here knew everything about everybody else in here, none of us would have no confidence in any of us. Waxed eloquent there, didn't I? Listen, buddy, I want to tell you something. You listen to me. You say, well, if you knew about that preacher, if I knew your thought life, I'd probably grab my stuff and run out of here.
Yeah.
And if you knew all my life, you'd probably walk out the door right now and say, I'll never listen to him preach again. But the Lord ain't like that. He's better than we are. Amen? Somebody said, well, I like that church, so I found out this, but the person, yeah, we know how you are. Yeah, we know how your kind is. You're just a fault finder looking for an excuse to stay home. That's what you are, amen? Brother, he knew it all and went anyway. He knew it all. Brother, one lady came to the preacher one time, she said, I'm not going back to church. He said, why, ma'am? She said, well, if you knew about that preacher, what I know about that preacher? He said, now, ma'am, I mean, I know your preacher's not perfect. Give him a... He said, yeah, but she said, if you knew what that preacher, what I know about him. You... He said, ma'am, look, take it easy. Nobody's perfect. Man, make mistakes. Have mercy on... She said, yeah, but if you knew about that preacher, what... He finally said, lady, if I knew about you, what God knows about you, I'd puke. And she didn't think that was a bit funny. Some people just ain't got no sense of humor, you know what? When it's turned on them. Jesus, the Bible said, knew their thoughts. I remember one time up at Manor, we was in the old building. You know, it was up there on the hill. It had a basement. I'm never going to be able to get to all my message, so I'll just give you this and I'll be through this morning. You'll have to guess what them other records are. But we was standing up there, and they got this man to come that never been. And he come for the first time, and it was wall to wall. People was upstairs. And a lot of times, a preacher, we're up here, we really are too optimistic. We think, boy, praise God, everybody's listening, getting a blessing. We got them right here. They're listening to every word I say. They ain't. And that guy, he come that morning, Sunday morning, sat over here on the, and I saw him looking up like that and everything, and I thought, hallelujah. God's got a hold of his heart. And after the service, I went and visited him the next week, or talked to his wife, and I said, what did he say? What did he say when you left? She said, you know what he said? I said, what? She said, Brother Danny, we went out and I said, what did you think about it? So and so, and called his name. He said, I was sitting there thinking, this dad gym place is going to fall in. That's what he was thinking. I thought, he's under conviction. God's dealing his heart. Dad gym, you know, another one of them old expressions. He's sitting there thinking, this dad gym place is going to fall in. Me up here sweating, beating my brains out on the pulpit, thought I was really getting somewhere. Now the truth is, a lot of times I think, Lord of God, God! And I'm just beating my gums together, brother. It ain't doing it. But Jesus knew their thoughts. And come right back the next Sunday. Next Sunday. What about that? I'll give you this and I'm done. Number 3, do you reckon he was happy with every decision that synagogue made? Son, they've wasted money, spent the money in the wrong place, put down gold marble tops and junk like that. Don't you know Jesus would have rather put that money and spent it for the poor or
trying to get the gospel out. And he went back next Sunday. Lord, it sounds like a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving Day. You reckon Jesus agreed with every decision that church made? He probably didn't agree with nothing they did. Them Pharisees are full of the devil. I bet you when they had their business meetings, it was a money thing. They courted rich people, preached false doctrine and everything, and he went every Saturday. Why did he do that? Because he was Father's son, and it was his Father's house, and he went. You're not relieving your responsibility to go to church every Sunday. I don't care what. Nobody. Now, I know there comes a point where it gets so bad you can find you another church. I'm not saying that. If your church is just messed up, go find you a good one and get in. But you're still supposed to go to church somewhere. Amen. If you don't like this one, find you one you do like and get in and go every Sunday.
Amen.
And if you like the truth, you like this one.
Amen.
I had a bunch of stuff I was going to say on that. I bet you they built a family life center and he thought, what in the world are we doing this for? And he went right back the next Saturday. Amen. I bet you they spent money out of the treasury to take the young people skiing. And the Lord just said, we'll be back next Saturday. As his custom was. Let me say one more thing and I'm done. I was going to elaborate on this, but I'll just say it. You reckon anybody ever hurt his feelings? Reckon? Oh my goodness. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just heard those ladies in the nursery and they were talking about me and I just can't go back. I just can't go back the way they're talking about me. Listen, he didn't just hear a little gossip once in a while. He knew what everybody's thinking. What if you knew what all these ladies are thinking about you, lady? I mean, when you walk in, here goes one thought. Boy, she's gained weight. Here's another thought. Her hair looks awful. You know, what if you knew that? I'll bet you $100. That's just an expression. I'll guarantee you that's been thought here today. If you said, well, if I knew they thought that about me, Jesus knew what they was thinking about him and came back anyway. Now listen, when you get to the point where you can say, listen, I don't care if nobody in there likes me or compliments me or brags on me or shakes my hand. This is my Father's house. I'm going to sit in there and I'm going to worship. Then you're getting somewhere. That's when you're getting to back Jesus. And that's what we ought to do. Reckon? Reckon he ever got his feelings hurt? Phew. Have you ever got to the place where you said, I just ain't going back? That's the way they're going to do. He knew I wanted to sing and didn't even call on me. He looked right past and called on them other people. That's what I'm saying. Go home and quit. Feel sorry for myself. The truth is, the Lord wants us to be as His custom. Let's make up our mind this morning. We're going to church. It doesn't matter who's there, who's not there. When you feel bad, you're able to come, get on up and come anyway and get in this thing and see it go for God. We probably got close to 350 people here today. Every one of us make up our mind as His custom was. We're going to be in here. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.